We'll find out this morning and welcome your questions and reactions to how Wisconsin is responding to the current financial situation and the government attempts to head off a deep recession. Part two of our Fall 2008 Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll deals with the economy, the bailout, and our personal financial situation. We'll release the results of the poll this morning and welcome in a variety of guests to respond to the results and to your questions and views. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 6 on this Thursday, October the 23rd. We will focus in on the bailout and whether we think that was a good idea or not and who we blame for the current mess and get some analysis from our guests in our 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock hours this morning. But we will start with the personal impact of the financial crisis. And according to the survey, virtually everyone thinks that we are in a crisis or at least a very serious situation. We wanted to know if what was once called the Wall Street meltdown is affecting you personally. Is it? How so? Like, have your investments been hit enough that you're thinking of postponing your retirement? We ask questions like this in our survey, and we will release and discuss the results this hour. And lucky us, we also have with us this hour, to answer your questions, financial planner Kevin McKinley, who can offer up some early morning advice on managing our personal finances through this tough period. So you can call in now with a personal finance question at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or email us talk@wpr.org, and we will get to your questions in just a few minutes. But first, to release some of the survey results, Wendy Scattergood, an assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere, an analyst for the St. Norbert Survey Center, and our analyst for the Wisconsin Survey. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
So we asked people if they were better off or worse off or about the same financially than they were a year ago, and the survey says
60% feel that they're worse off now than they were a year ago, compared to only 20% saying they're better off and 20% saying that they're the same as they were a year ago.
Yeah, and historically, how does that stack up?
Well, what we usually ask that question is about how you feel it's going to be next year,
mm-hmm.
and that's really where we have a lot of our historical data.
Yeah.
And
we do think we're going to be better off next year.
We do. We're much more optimistic about that. And over half of us said, 51% said they feel that next year they're going to be better off than they are this year. 20% said they felt they're going to be worse off. And 17% said that they felt they were going to be the same. What's interesting here, though, is that compared to the historical data that we have, is 12% said that they weren't sure how they're going to be next year. Normally, in the year since we started this in 1994, we had seen the "I'm not sure how I'm going to be next year" be around 2%, 2-3%. So not that many people were not sure how they're going to be. They felt pretty confident, or they, you know, felt like they were going to be the same. But that don't know factor has really gone up this year. It's more than doubled than where it was even in the spring when it was 6%. But typically it's around 2%. So I think that was probably the most interesting thing about people's optimism is that they're just not that sure, although still the majority feel like they're going to be better off.
Yeah, but so certainly though we we are in somewhat a funk now, but we're a cheery lot for the most part.
Yeah.
So how many of us have been affected personally by the Wall Street meltdown?
Well, 24% say that they feel they've been affected personally a great deal, and then 37% said that they've been affected at least somewhat. And that's actually higher than the national polls that we're seeing. So I think here in Wisconsin, we're feeling it more than on the national basis as a whole.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Yeah, it looks like it feels when we ask people about the economy in that open-ended question that we talked about yesterday, a lot of people were saying they feel like their retirement accounts have been hit.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely goes up by age. If we look at who are the people who feel like they've been most affected, it is older people who are feeling the heat from that. 35% of people over 65 feel like they have been affected by this a great deal compared to only 19% of the people in the 35 to 44 as an example.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also asked people when they expected to retire. What stood out in the results of that question?
Well, when I broke it down by different age groups, and if you kind of put in the people under 65, what percentage of people thought they were going to be able to retire before they were 65, it's 36%. 17% were right on 65, and then 39% were above 65, so 66 and above. So what we're looking at is that we have the bulk of people, more people saying over 65 than under 65 at this point. So I thought that was interesting. And then within that over 65, 18% of all respondents say it's going to be 75 or above before they retire.
Yeah, that's the one that stood out to me.
Yeah, that seems very high. And we don't have a baseline. I didn't see any other questions out mm-hmm. there in the national poll. So we don't really have a way of comparing what this means in terms of other people or other times. So we start the baseline here, I guess, and we can ask this in the future.
Yeah. And we did ask lots of other questions, which we will get into more in our next hour. But we do consider this situation a crisis or at least a serious problem.
Right. 92% felt that it was at least a serious problem, if not a crisis. And then it's pretty evenly split between those. 47% feel that we're in a crisis. 45% feel that it is a serious problem.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, we will talk to you again in our next hour, and also welcome in one of your colleagues, St. Norbert economist Kevin Quinn, to talk more about some of the other questions we asked in the survey.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy Scattergood is our analyst for the St. Norbert College Survey Center and for the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll, which we are releasing all morning long on the economic situation. You can view the results of our survey on our website, WPR.org. We will talk about our personal financial situation and how we're weathering this meltdown with financial planner Kevin McKinley after the weather. He'll answer your financial questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday. It's October the 23rd. And joining me now, we are very happy to have him with us, Kevin McKinley, a certified financial planner in Eau Claire. He serves on the Governor Doyle's Council on Financial Literacy. He's the author of Make Your Kid a Millionaire, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us early in the morning. Now, Kevin, I don't know, what's your general reaction to our survey results that we're releasing this morning? Looks like at least 60% of us think we're in worse shape financially this year than we were a year ago, but we're an optimistic lot and think things will get better next year.
I love that in the midst of all of this the uncertainty and the bad news and everything like that, that there still is, you know, greater than 50% of the respondents think that things are going to be better for themselves a year from now. And I'm not sure that's true, but I love the fact that they're optimistic enough that in these times that they still think it's going to be better. Of course, it might also mean that they think, how can it get any worse than it actually is?
That's a good point. I never thought of that. How could it get any worse? But you just said, I'm not sure that's true. I was hoping for a pep talk. I guess it's uncertainty as to whether we're going to at least recover maybe some of the losses that we've suffered over the past few weeks with our investments.
Well, and part of it comes because there is so much unknown out there with these companies in terms of what they have in their investment portfolios and what these bonds are worth, these CDOs and CDSs and a lot of these acronyms that we've learned about for the last few weeks. I do feel that there is a reason for optimism within people's individual personal situations, which is good news because other than maybe voting or calling into talk shows. There's not much that we can do on an individual basis about the macroeconomic situation, but there are plenty of things that people can do on their own personal financial situation that can not only make them feel better, but also reposition themselves so that when things do get better, things will get better for each individual as well.
Yeah, so I know everybody's an individual, and we all have individual portfolios and such, but what is something we can do to make a difference, to feel better right now?
Well, I found it very interesting in the survey that the date was about as bad of a date as the survey could have been sent out or for this particular year. And the reason being, in terms of getting negative news back, because the first week in October is when everyone who has some type of variable investment, whether it's an IRA or mutual fund or stock portfolio or 401k or 403b, everyone was just opening up those statements during that first or second week of October, and they really got a shock. And then the ones who were savvy enough to say, gosh, this is through September 30th of 2008, I better go online and check and see what the balance is now. Well, the drop from September 30th to, say, October 10th for most people's investment accounts was even bigger than the drop from June 30th to September 30th. So they really got hit upside the head with a big loss in value. And as we well know, interest becomes principal in most people's minds within about 6 months. So this did not feel in most people's minds like it was money that they had given back to the market, if you will. Mm-hmm. It felt like money that was taken away from them. So the first thing that people can look at is to say, hey, go back to where you were 2 or 3 years ago. Even people who had very big losses, who were overinvested in the stock market in relation to what their investment needs were, hopefully they're probably back to where they were maybe 2 or 3 years ago, unless they made some real drastic decisions in the last couple of years. And while you certainly want to be moving forward all the time and always gaining, if you're back to where you were 2 or 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago there was no reason for most people to jump off a bridge, literally or figuratively, and so if you're back to that dollar balance or net worth now, it's not good, but it isn't the end of the world for you either.
Yeah. Different situation, though, for those who, as Wendy Scattergood mentioned, it was those survey respondents who were, you know, a little older, who were feeling the pinch more or feeling worse about the situation. Is it different for those who are, you know, 60-ish or, you know, retirement or approaching retirement?
That feels like a bigger hit. Mm-hmm. And those people actually, on one hand, it's a little bit irrational because we find when we look at people, their financial situation, they're typically overly pessimistic upon retirement in terms of how much money they need to have a decent retirement, how much risk they need to take to afford that retirement. So on one hand, they're probably a little bit overly pessimistic. On the other hand, there are very reliable studies out there that show that people who retire at the top of stock market booms and then begin withdrawing money from their retirement accounts during a decline, those people tend to run out of money faster than those who actually retire when the stock market is near low, and that, of course, makes sense. So those people I am a little concerned about. The good news is they have Social Security. In many cases, they have home equity built up that they can rely on as well.
Yeah. I'm wondering, Kevin, I'm looking for the exact figure, but stock market dropped some 600 points again yesterday. Is there anything you can do about that?
Well, if I weren't on the phone with you right now, Joy, I'd be fixing that. But no, this is something that comes from all the uncertainty out there. And there's nothing that you can say, well, this is horribly, horribly wrong, and it's way different than it was 3 months ago. It becomes because there's a lack of trust in the financial system, both domestically and internationally right now, and there's nobody knows what the next shoe is that's going to drop, and they're very afraid that that's going to be a heavy shoe dropping on top of them rather than something that's going to boost the general situation up. So until things calm down and until trust is restored to the financial system, we're going to see days like this. Now, we're also going to see days where the Dow Jones Industrial Average jumps 500 or 600 points. That will not shock me either, but the level of uncertainty and mistrust of what is out there in the financial situation is very high right now, and that tends to cause people to shrink back into their shells and stay out until things calm down.
Yeah, and so you predict that we're going to see this kind of volatility for a while?
For a few more weeks at least. I don't see what the thing that is on the horizon that's going to calm down, other than just people get tired of buying and selling on a day-to-day basis and say, all right, now I'm going to sit into this thing in a particular position. I'm not going to open my statements up or check my account balances online on a minute-by-minute basis, and I'm just going to ride it out from here on out. When we get to that point and we can kind of start muddling back through and back up, things will go back up. I firmly believe that. It's just a question of how long it takes for that to begin happening.
So calm down. Don't check your statements every 2 minutes. Maybe look back 2 or 3 years ago to see that all is not lost. What else? What other general advice do you have for us during these volatile times?
Well, I don't think, I haven't seen a situation that says that this is a depression era or worse than the depression era, financial calamity coming on top of us right now. That doesn't mean it won't happen, but it just, I don't see this great thing because people have generally, on an individual basis, have reacted relatively calmly. We're not seeing, you know, people lining up around the corner to pull their money out of banks yet. The government has been very good about trying to put in a safety net underneath banks and money market accounts and things like that. That part about it is very good. It's a question of sorting out all these exotic mortgages and seeing what they're worth and seeing which firms have to go under or be bought out before we know we can start moving forward. But there is a freeze in money moving on electronically on Wall Street in the billions of dollars. Until that comes, that freeze comes off, we are still going to be in this situation, but Social Security is going to be there in one form or another for every single person who's paying into it. I don't know how much it will be or what the restrictions on taking it at certain ages or tax will be. The good news is people will have Social Security to rely on. And for the people who aren't on the cusp of retirement, if you are still going to be able to contribute to your retirement plan, this is actually good news for you. You want lower prices to keep buying into so that when you do retire down the road, you've got some appreciation from which to draw. So if you're in your 30s or 40s or things like that, yes, it's a very precarious time economically. But in terms of your actual investment accounts, it is a good time to be adding more money to those accounts if you can afford to do it.
We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio in just a moment. And we are opening the lines for your personal finance questions. Are you wondering what to do in terms of personal finances during these troubling economic times? You can ask Kevin McKinley. He is a certified financial planner. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Coming up tomorrow at this time, by the way, the Joyride is in Stevens Point, broadcasting from the Lee Sherman Dreyfus Center on the UW Stevens Point campus. We're going to have some fun in our first hour tomorrow talking trivia. Stevens Point is the home of the world's largest trivia contest, and we will talk about Trivia Mania with the Trivia Oz, giving away some Joyride coffee mugs to those of you who can answer some trivia questions correctly. Like, Kevin, are you still there?
Yes.
You can try this. Maybe you.
Okay.
Who was appointed the sewer commissioner of Provo Canyon, Utah, in 1976?
Donny Osmond.
Close. We will find out the answer tomorrow. How's that?
And, okay.
And that question is also significant in the history of the world's largest trivia contest. So I hope you can join us on location tomorrow in Stevens Point at the Dreyfus Center, or you can play along from home. More information on our website, WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio at 6:36 on this Thursday, October the 23rd. We are welcoming your questions about managing your personal finances for the rest of this hour with certified financial planner Kevin McKinley. We're also discussing the results of our latest Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll on the economy, which, among other things, found 61% of us said that we were being affected a great deal or some by the Wall Street problems. How are you being affected and what advice do you need? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can also send us your question via email. Talk@wpr.org. Kevin McKinley, you remember Kevin from Wisconsin Public Radio's program, Kevin McKinley on Your Money. He also serves on Governor Doyle's Council on Financial Literacy. He is the author of Make Your Kid a Millionaire, and he is also the owner of McKinley Money, LLC in Eau Claire. And again, we have an open line for you if you have a question about managing your personal finances or what to do during these troubled or uncertain economic times. 1-800-642-1234 or email us talk@wpr.org. Matt in Oshkosh joins us. Hi, Matt. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
The first question your screener asked me was, how have I been affected by the downturn or whatever you want to call it? And I told him, not at all. I have no money in the stock market. I do plenty of gambling and risk-taking as a farmer. And I understand what I'm doing, and I think that most of your common person type investors are in denial when it comes to the risk that they are accepting when they start dabbling in the market or even heavily investing in the market. They expect that they're never going to lose, and it is a real possibility, which is being demonstrated, that there will be losses. And if they aren't willing to accept that risk, they shouldn't use the market. And I also agree with the statement he made that within about 6 months, that people start viewing interest as principal. And that's another falsehood, because until you sell your stock, or in my case, a commodity, you haven't made a nickel. You can sit on it as long as you want, but until you actually sell it, you haven't made or lost a dime.
Yeah. Matt, I don't mean to pry too much, and you don't have to answer this, but by not investing, you feel with just whatever your regular savings are and whatever, you're going to be okay when you're not farming and selling farm products anymore?
Absolutely. My investments are in farmland, equipment, livestock. I'm completely invested. As most farmers know, the majority of farmers out here, everything you make goes immediately back into the farm and keeping it going and improving it. We're the richest poor guys you'll ever know.
Well, what's your reaction to that, Kevin?
I think it... one of the things that a lot of people, especially people kind of on the cusp of retirement, do not realize is that, many of us in our 40s or 50s or even 60s didn't have any money until the mid-1980s. And we only started to accumulate wealth and net worth from the 80s and the 90s and through this decade. And people don't realize that the Dow Jones Industrial Average from 1966 through 1983 basically went nowhere. Now, that was 17 years that people who put money into the stock market made little or nothing on it over that time. And I hope that doesn't happen over the next 17 years. And if it has happened, we're already well into that cycle at this point here. But a lot of people would be better off, and the country would be better off, if we were aggressive savers instead of being aggressive investors with our 401k and retirement money.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I guess I remember it being hammered into me that I don't, in this job, have the 401k, but if you did have a 401k, you should be investing the maximum so your employer would match the maximum.
Yeah, saving aggressively is a much better idea. It's a much more tax-advantaged way. It's guaranteed money because you lower your taxes right away, whereas if you say, well, I'm going to save a little and hope for the best in the stock market, that's just hope. Also, it teaches us to live on a little less, and it denies us some money. So as we get older and we become just less able and less willing to spend money on more frivolous things, it takes less money to support us in retirement as well.
Yeah. So you right now would you advise tucking away money just in a money market savings account or a CD as opposed to investing in the stock market?
It depends on your situation. If you're on the cusp of retirement and you really need growth in your investments, you can't pull it out now. If you didn't pull it out at when the Dow was at 14,000, you can't pull it out now and then hope that things work out going forward here. Not, I mean, the stock market will definitely go lower, but we're closer to the low than we are to the high. Now, if you are younger and you're in your 30s or 40s and you're still saving for retirement, this is a great time to put more money aside. One way people can do that without having to worry about sacrificing that money for 20 years is to put it into a Roth IRA. Now, you don't get the tax deduction on a Roth IRA if you qualify to make that contribution, but a lot of people don't know that you can pull the contributions to a Roth IRA back out at any time for any reason whatsoever with no taxes or penalties. So if you say, gosh, I want to save for retirement, but I might need this few thousand dollars by the end of next year, put it into a Roth IRA instead. If you need it, you can pull the contributions back out, but if you don't need it, you have put aside some money for retirement at very good prices.
I'm such a goof. You can take money out of the Roth IRA without penalties. I mean, you don't have to wait until you're 59 years old.
It's the contribution portion. So if you put $5,000 into a Roth IRA and it grows to $6,000, you can pull $5,000 back out of that at any time for any reason with no taxes or penalties, as long as you leave the $1,000 portion in there. And
oh,
the good people at the IRS let you designate your withdrawal as the contribution portion.
Jeff in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Kevin. This is Jeff. Hi, Joy. I had a question concerning Roth IRAs, and I'm wondering with the stock market being down, I had wanted to roll over a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. Is this a good time to do it? And can you kind of walk me through what the rules are on that, on doing the rollovers?
Sure. It depends on your situation, Jeff, but that is a good thing to be looking at right now. And what there's a provision that Jeff is aware of where people can move IRA money into a Roth IRA and pay taxes on it right now, and then going forward, it will be in the Roth IRA, which is tax-free when you pull it out in retirement. Because prices are lower right now, let's say Jeff has $20,000 in an IRA and it was $30,000 at the beginning of the year. Well, because he's moving it over at a time like this, the amount taxed will be lower, and then it will go forward tax-free. I think it's a great idea to do that. There are some tricky little mechanisms to making sure that you get the rollover qualified, that you're not subject to the penalty and only to the taxes as you look into that. But if you go to irs.gov and type in IRA into the search engine, they do have a step-by-step process on there on how you can go about doing that. But I think that's a really good idea to do that because I think two things are guaranteed to be higher in the future, and that is the stock market at some point, and it is your taxes. And if your money is in an IRA instead of a Roth IRA, you'll pay those higher taxes. A Roth IRA, you won't pay those higher taxes on distributions in retirement.
Okay, Jeff, or anything else?
No, that's great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. We'll take more calls on your managing your personal finances and investments with a certified financial planner, Kevin McKinley. What advice do you need during these turbulent financial times? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 14 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, October the 23rd. Coming up after 7, we'll release more results from our Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll, taking a look at the federal economic bailout or rescue, depending on your point of view. Was that a good idea or not? Did we want Congress to intervene in this situation or not? Did that $700 billion plan help Wall Street, or does it also help Main Street? We'll release the results of our survey to those questions and more coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with Kevin McKinley, certified financial planner, serves on Governor Doyle's Council on Financial Literacy, author of Make Your Kid a Millionaire, and owner of McKinley Money, LLC, talking with us about our personal financial situation. We asked in our survey this fall whether people felt they were better off or worse off financially, and no surprise, 60% of us say we are worse off financially. More than 60% of us said that we were being affected some or a great deal by the current Wall Street problems. So we thought it would be a good idea to get some advice on what we should do during these times with Kevin McKinley this hour. And our next caller is Frank in Winchester. Hi, Frank. You're on the air.
Yes. Could you tell me if my CDs are safe? I've got two of them at 5 years.
Yeah. Are CDs safe, Kevin?
Generally, yes. They're actually on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the safest. CDs right now are about a 9, and they used to be a 9.5, but with some of the larger banks either being swallowed up or kind of going by the wayside, they've slipped a notch. However, the government, and I'm as part of this bailout or rescue package, the fact that the government is paying attention to bank safety and the FDIC insurance fund makes me very happy because, again, things are very rocky right now. When we start losing confidence in our local savings, credit unions, institutions, things will get much worse. So, yes, I think they are safe. I do think, though, that people who have CDs should take a look at the underlying safety of the institution in which you're putting that certificate, because while the insurance is there, if you want kind of a belt and suspenders approach, Frank, I would have you go to bankrate.com, and they have a safety rating for every single bank and credit union in the country, and you could just kind of get a broader idea of the bank that you're choosing or credit union you're looking at to see just how safe the underlying institution is as well, along with the insurance.
Okay, Frank?
One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody says go to .com or sitcom or whatever. Us in the boonies do not have any of this stuff, internet. And I have to laugh at that. But thanks anyway.
Frank, all right, good luck.
Bye. Yeah, sorry about that, Frank. A lot of places do have a library or something nearby. Hopefully you can find something like that, Frank. You know, I got a letter from my my credit union just last week, I think it was, Kevin, and without going into great detail, I wonder if you can shed a little bit of light on the general message of that letter saying that, you know, the credit union's safe and don't worry about, you know, your investments here and, you know, we're insured and all that. We did change, though, carriers, I believe, for the money market accounts. I have a money market checking account. And it's now this carrier instead of that carrier. And it sounded as though the previous carrier might have been, I don't know. I mean, is that what they did they get rid of somebody who was on shaky ground to give me a better one? Do you know what's going on along money markets and what they were trying to tell me?
That was kind of a bullet that we've dodged so far. Is money market accounts up until a couple weeks ago, only one had ever broken the buck. And what breaking the buck means is people who put money in a money market account, which is kind of like a checking account, most are uninsured, but they're typically very safe. Only one had ever broken the buck, meaning that people who put money in did not get every single penny back. And even those people got 97 cents back on the dollar. Well, one of the oldest and largest broke the buck a couple weeks ago, and there was a worry that as people became more concerned about the safety of their money market assets, that they would start pulling money out and put it into CDs and treasuries. And so the government came up with a plan to allow money market deposits to be guaranteed by part of this bailout rescue plan.
Oh.
And but there could have been a reason that your credit union or financial advisory firm, bank, whatever, decided that the provider was being maybe more aggressive in their investments than what the provider was happy with, and decided to move to one that was more conservative or safer or something like that. But that's money market assets too. For again, this is for the time being, but for now, I think are also a very safe place for people to keep their money, depending on the provider.
Next, we go to Jill in River Falls. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Yes.
My question is, if you have a small amount to invest, for instance, just $1,000 or maybe up to $500 or $5,000, is that too small of an amount to invest in stocks, for instance?
$1,000?
No, absolutely not. It's more difficult to invest
amounts of money like that, but it's still possible. If you go to Morningstar.com, Morningstar.com, they have a free service that allows you to screen mutual funds, and you can search through those funds through higher-rated funds by that service, but then also by the minimum dollar deposit that they have for each particular fund. And there are still plenty of good ones out there that have minimums that are as low as $500 or even $100 in some cases, especially if you're willing to set up like a systematic deposit where you are putting in, say, $100 a month or something like that along with your initial deposit.
So Jill sounded like a young woman. Is this a good time for her to use that extra $1,000 to put into the stock market or keep it in the money market or the CD?
If it's money that she can afford to see go down in value for the short term, yes. If people put money in the stock market today, right now, I can guarantee two things, is that they will be sick about it at some point in the next day or week or month or even year. But 10 or 20 years down the road, they'll be looking back at this time and saying, gosh, I wish I had put more money in to the stock market, or I wish I'd had more money to invest at that time.
Thanks, Jill. Good luck. Bob in Darlington is next. Hi.
Yeah, morning to both of you.
Morning.
Yeah, I have a question here, Kevin. I'm 59, and I have quite a bit of money in a target retirement, 2010, and I just wondered if that's a good place to be right now. It's 55% stocks, 45% bonds, and I need the money probably in about 7-8 years.
Okay, and the target retirement, just for people who aren't familiar with it, I'm a big fan of these. If you don't like making a lot of your own investment decisions or you don't have access to good advice on it, you can pick a fund that kind of says, hey, you're going to start liquidating this in this certain year. And they'll invest it accordingly. And then as we get closer and closer to that year, they'll become more conservative. So if you had a 2040 fund as opposed to Bob's 2010 fund, that would be a more aggressive fund. But as time goes on, it will become more conservative. I think it's a great idea to use that fund. One of the questions I have is I'm not so much worried about the stock portion of it. That will definitely go up and down. But people who have bond funds or a portion of their money in bond-type funds like these, if you can afford it, you should take a look and see, can I go out and buy individual CDs or individual bonds rather than having it in a bond fund? Because you lose some diversification by going to individual bonds or CDs, but you know exactly where your money is. And I think the short-term worry that I have right now is a lot of people who feel that money is safe in bonds, they're not quite sure where it actually is. And with a CD or something like that, you know exactly where it is, you know exactly what's going to happen, and it's a little bit more secure. But other than that, no, it's nothing that I would worry about or something like that.
Thanks very much, Bob. An email from Jan in Appleton. In 1986, we bought shares in a Wisconsin mutual fund. Yesterday, our remaining shares fell below what we paid for them in 1986. I've been donating these shares to pay church pledges. Should I now sell the remainder at a loss before they pay out capital gains in December?
Without knowing much more about her situation, I would say yes, because it's a better idea to take the loss. That's part of the way people can kind of make lemonade about these lemons we've had in the market recently, is if you do have losses, realize them. Take them now, because you can deduct up to $3,000 of losses against your ordinary income every single year. And then if you have $10,000 in losses right now, you can do $3,000 this year, next year, and the year after, and then $1,000 in the final year. But at least you can lower your income taxes that you pay April 15th. By selling those shares at a loss. And she's also true is that some open-end mutual fund holders are going to get an unpleasant surprise in that they will get taxable distributions from their IR or from their mutual funds between now and the end of the year, even though they're down on the accounts. And so, yes, it's probably a good idea to sell that now, take the loss, and have total control over the amount of taxes that she pays and still be able to donate the funds.
Marianne in Caledonia. Hi.
Hi. A quick question. We were advised to take our money out of a Franklin Templeton allocation fund and transfer it into a variable annuity with a hedge on it, and we're at the age of 60 years old. Do you think that is a wise idea?
Again, without knowing everything about your situation, I can't say for sure. I'm not a huge fan of variable annuities in many cases. However, if the hedge, you said it had some kind of protection so that if the value goes down,
right,
you'll still get something back. normally, I actually, that's one of the reasons I do like variable annuities, is because they have that in there. However, that protection is typically only as good as the claims-paying ability of the insurance company, and some of the larger insurance companies have really been rocked by this last credit crisis, and so while I certainly think the stock market will be fine over 10 or 20 years, the insurance companies themselves might not be around in their current form at that time, and the variable annuities typically have higher expenses than mutual funds. Now, there are benefits for those expenses, but you have to know what the expenses are and what the benefits are, and then decide if the benefits are worth the higher expenses that you're paying.
Well, Kevin, I'm sorry to say we're out of time and our lines are full. A lot of people want to talk to you. We'll have to do this on a regular basis. What do you think?
I would like nothing more, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
My pleasure.
Kevin McKinley is a certified financial planner in Eau Claire. He is the owner of McKinley Money, LLC. He serves on Governor Doyle's Council on Financial Literacy and is the author of Make Your Kid a Millionaire. We thank him for his time, and we thank you for your calls. We'll be talking more about the financial situation and the politics of the bailout coming up in our next couple of hours. A reminder that we are hitting the campaign trail once again, the sixth stop of our statewide tour. In Stevens Point tomorrow, we'll be broadcasting on location from the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, and I hope to see you there. That's tomorrow between 6 and 9 here on the Ideas Network.